The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our reflection tonight is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, reading verses 14 through 16. It's on the right-hand side, the inside of your service folder. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is God's word, dear friends. I usually like to ask a question to start out, and I will do the same, but tonight I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It would seem to be a somewhat obvious question. How was your Thanksgiving? I think for many of us, we'd say, oh, it was great. We got to travel. We got to see loved ones we hadn't seen in quite some time. We filled up our bellies. We did a little shopping. We watched football till we didn't like football anymore. Literally. All the things and all the trappings that make holidays so great. Thanksgiving, Christmas. We look forward to them with anticipation. And they come and they go. But the reason I didn't ask you to raise your hand to say, did you have a great Thanksgiving, is because I would anticipate that there are some people in here who didn't have the greatest holiday. Why? Because maybe there are those holes in our lives that some of us have. Holes that have been left because of broken relationships. Holes that are there because we just can't seem to get along. Holes that are there because our family is no longer together but fractured. Holes because maybe our loved ones have gone to heaven before us. We might remember always going to grandma and grandpa's and aunts and uncles, but they're not alive anymore. And so all we have are those memories. We try to connect the today to what happened in the past. We long for what it used to be like. Grandma used to make this awesome dessert. And now your cousin tried to do the exact same recipe, but it just didn't turn out the same way, and we're dissatisfied by it. Oh, if only Grandma were still here to make it. Maybe this Thanksgiving was just a little bit different than last Thanksgiving because somebody who we loved has gone to heaven just in this last year, and it makes us contemplative, and it makes us sad. So I appreciate the fact that not everybody's always eager just to pump up their hand and say, well, the 4 days off was great, but I was sick the whole time, or I wasn't able to get to my family, or I had to work, or there's that hole in my heart. We long for what it was like, really, in our youth when everything was simple and everything was great. The children of Israel were no different. They were always looking to the past. They had a hard time looking forward with eager anticipation to what was coming because they were taught and they learned about how great the past was. We heard about Abraham and how he was the father of us all, that nation of Israel. God made the promise and he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation and the Savior of the world is going to come from your line. And Isaac had that same promise, and Jacob had that same promise, and Joseph had that same promise, and yet the Savior never came. Ah, God made Israel into a great nation. This little nation on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea, under King David, 1,000 years before the coming of Christ, David established this throne, and he really had no enemies that were willing to take him on. Egypt to the south, the nations to the north and to the east, they didn't have a shot because the one true God was there and with them. The one true God was taking care of them because they were persistent in their love for him, and he reciprocated with his blessings, the ones that never went away. God was there. God was present in their lives. And so what did they do? They constantly longed for what was in the past. Because at the time of Jeremiah, things had changed significantly. The anticipation of a coming Savior, well, yep, that was great, but right now we are in misery. Our nation is in shambles. We are spiritually bankrupt because after David and Solomon had the power and the peace, then there was a fractured nation, the divided kingdom of Israel, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And there was no happiness or joy because there was a long list of kings that were wicked and had no regard for the one true God. They ran after the false gods of their neighbors. They talked about the intermarrying and how the influence overwhelmed the worship of the one true God. There was no anticipation of looking forward because it was always yearning for the past and thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could go back to that time when David ruled? The task that Jeremiah had was not very fun, and really the majority of the prophets was not great. It's interesting, during Advent, we like to pull out little portions of Scripture from certain places, and we have this wonderful view of what God had promised. Isaiah got to say, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But the majority of Isaiah was telling the nation of Israel, get your act together, because if you reject him, our nation is doomed and we're all going to suffer humiliation. We're all going to lose the promised gift that God has given to us. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Micah reminds us of that small little town and what was going to be great about it, that the Savior was coming, and yet it was not all celebration and happiness coming from the inspired pen of Micah. And that gives us a little bit of the background of our text here tonight from Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived roughly 600 years before the time of Jesus, and they were right on the precipice of having Jerusalem completely destroyed in 586 by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And more people were going to be carried off into captivity. And yet we have these wonderful words of comfort that we can go back and hear God putting the fears of his people to rest. I'd have to say that when you talk about Advent and anticipation, I'm not exactly painting this glorious picture, am I? I'm basically taking the heart right out of it, because we see how God's people hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, rejected God and lost everything. And we realize that we too deserve the same fate. We deserve to be separated from our merciful God, to have all the gifts and the blessings that are granted to us ripped away from us. We have every reason to be in the cities of, and have the same fate as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because in reality, our inclination is to constantly long to fill our own bellies, to self-satisfy, to always look at ourselves and try to get all the stuff that we can and stockpile it, because whoever dies with the most toys wins. But nothing could be further from the truth. There is only one way that we find true peace and we find true joy, and that is in the anticipation of our Savior. We join the people from Jeremiah's time as we look forward to Jesus coming the first time, but all the more we long to have a meaningful connection with our Savior today. I'd have to admit, I probably would have been a lot like Lot's wife. And I'm sure if anybody has ever gone through a house fire and you were there and the sirens are screeching, what's the reaction? You want to grab as much stuff as you possibly can, rescue it and save it and set it on the lawn. We want to look back and say, ah, all of these valuable things that belong to me, this is mine. We long to have that connection to stuff. I'm generally amused. On Thursday, we all celebrated our blessings and we say, thank you, God, for everything you gave us. And then Friday, we were out there trying to buy as much stuff as we possibly could because it was on super sale. Because that 42-inch TV maybe just isn't big enough, and the 55-inch is only a few hundred dollars. That we're connected to the gifts that we can buy for others, that we can garner for ourselves, things that will spoil and fade. We want to hold on to them. That's the way our sinful nature is built and the way that we react to every situation. Mine, mine, mine. And if we don't have it, we want more, more, more. But we need to find contentment in what we have. Instead of trying to make the connection of the here and the now, to continue to be built up in the confidence that our Lord and Savior loves us and He provides exactly what we need. The connections that we make come through the words of the Bible as it speaks to us and tells us what we get to look forward to, the blessings and the glory that is on the way through Jesus our Savior. We want to make connections in this world. Really, it's part of the overarching theme of Live It, a unique community that sees God's purpose for our lives, and we have the opportunity to live for Him. Jesus changes our status, and now that purpose that He places in our hearts, we move forward with thanksgiving and appreciation. We make those connections as we move forward. No doubt it had to be great news for the children of Israel when they heard Jeremiah speak these words. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. Ah, David. David's our guy. We were great when we had David as our king. They were longing for the past, and they were missing that Jeremiah was saying, no, we're looking to the future. The one who is coming from David's line is going to change everything. David was a great king, but we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who is on the way. We have a promise from our God given to us in Genesis, at the time of the very first sin to Adam and Eve, and then given to Abraham, and then given to Moses, and then given to David, and then it comes back to Israel again. So many people have fled, so many people have run away. Put your trust in what is to come, because the Savior is the one that's going to connect you with God for an eternity. Put your trust in Him. We want to make connections in the here and the now. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody has that innate desire for affection and interaction, friends and family coming together, even having that conversation with acquaintances. My family says that people are my drug. I love talking to people. I love interacting with them. I will talk to absolutely anybody at any time. In line at the store, the guy who's over on the other side of the fuel tank, I yearn to have that interaction. And hopefully it isn't just to hear myself talk, because I think sometimes we do that. We like to hear ourselves talk and self-aggrandize, but what I really want to know is, what do you need? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? What are your fears? And in line at the grocery store and at the fuel pump, it isn't easy to get into the big Jesus conversation of what you are anticipating. But there's that certain reality that we can find joy in letting our light shine and sharing our lives with another person. Because maybe down that line, there is just that conversation that does strike us. That person who is in true need, who has that hole in their heart, and we can share with them that there's only one who can truly fill that heart. Rev Shev can talk to you for 15 or 20 minutes or a half hour, but Jesus is there always. He wants you to be his very own. Jesus came into the world. He was from the line of David. And he did right. He will do what is just and right in the land. He was the king, and he was also the priest, the high priest that we needed, who came and served as the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who took away all of our sins, but then also serves as our intercessor, the go-between. The Old Testament high priest would offer prayers on the people's behalf along with the sacrifices. And it's interesting to think that the God who knows everything and who sent his son for the purpose of paying for our sins and rescuing us from sin and death and has every right to condemn us and to punish us for our sin has his son in between us. And every time we sin, Jesus whispers to him and says, I paid for that one. And I paid for that one. And I paid for that one. Don't hold that sin against him or her. I took all of their sins to the cross. Jesus endured that suffering. He took away our pain. He made sure that we had hope and a reason to anticipate the many gifts that he wants to give to us. Part of this reminds us, part of our text reminds us that God would show his love and his mercy, and that there would be people who would have the opportunity to return to Jerusalem, that city would be rebuilt, that the temple would be rebuilt, people would go back to God's promised land, but that land wasn't going to last forever. It wasn't going to be eternal. We needed a Savior who came in and stepped in on our behalf to give us the connection to eternity, to give us the connection to heaven. That awesome picture of anticipation, that star that lights up over the manger scene, but then seeing that cross that comes from the door, the Christ child who came in a very unique and special way, took on flesh for us to live the perfect life that we couldn't, to die so that we wouldn't have to face the punishment for our sins, the glorious resurrection that assures us he's not another dead guy, but that he is the sinless Son of God who has eternity locked up for us. We look forward with anticipation now to Christmas. Some of you may have already cut your trees down or put up the fake one, put the ornaments on it. Maybe some of you will wait till the 23rd of December, and that's okay too. But there's that time now where we look forward to the first coming of our Savior. We look forward to celebrating Christmas so that we can celebrate Easter, because they really go hand in hand. God leaves his throne in heaven and becomes a human and takes our place and gives his life with his death on the cross. If we don't have Christmas, we don't have Easter. And we can't have Easter if we don't have Christmas. We anticipate what lies ahead, the glory that belongs to us, how Jesus changed everything, that this promise that was made was going to be fulfilled 600 years after the time of Jeremiah, and that it's still going to be filled for us today. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And that is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. That's the new translation, NIV 11. In NIV 84, the Lord our righteousness. We become the righteousness of God through Jesus, who changes our status, who renews us, and gives us that joy of knowing what Christ has done for us. How are your holidays? Whether they were great or whether they were sad. Whether we had plenty to eat or there was still something lacking. We don't connect ourselves and long for the past. We long for a meaningful relationship. So, dear friends, my encouragement to you is, if you're starting New Year's resolutions, start them early, since this is the new church year, to get into His Word, to be comforted and emboldened by it, to start a devotional schedule, to get together with your family and pray. Pray boldly. Pray for opportunities to continue to serve Him and to serve others. And be the inviter. Now is the time when people maybe are hurting the most. Be the inviter to come here at 5:30 on a Sunday evening, to come on a Sunday morning, to hear the good news of Jesus. Because it is life-changing and life-altering. And in a world where there are so few things to celebrate and look forward to, we come here with anticipation, knowing that we come face-to-face with our Lord and Savior. During this Advent season, we come together and we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come in love, come in power, come and change everything for me. Continue to build that relationship that you started at the creation of the world, as we have been chosen to be His very own. Come, Lord Jesus, and take us to be with You forever in heaven. Now that is a reunion, and that is a relationship we can connect with. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. Amen.